Hey, good afternoon to all of you. I hope you're doing well. You know, my wife and I were talking, and one of the things we'd like to do this year is to go to Africa. I really would love to go on a safari. So just in case we make enough money and are able to do that, I've started studying lions. And I've learned a few things about lions. The first thing I didn't know, it really surprised me, is that they don't have just one roar. They have a couple of roars. One of those roars is a roar of warning. They'll send out this warning, and they let everyone know, watch out, this is my territory, you better tread carefully. Now, another roar is the one we've probably maybe seen or heard on National Geographic. That's the roar of the kill. After they make a kill, they let out this loud roar. Now, a couple of other things I learned about them is that they are kind of noisy, but when they start to hunt, they're very quiet. They go into stealth mode. The other thing is, lions never, ever, ever give an empty threat in a roar. If they roar, it means something. So I got to thinking about that. You know what? There are some scriptures that talk about lions seeking the prey. There are scriptures talking about lions roaring. So what I thought we would do today is take a look at a nation that decided to ignore the roar of the lion and to see what happened to them. And if we're wise, maybe we can avoid making the same mistake of ignoring the lion's warning roar in our own lives. So some of you are probably right ahead with me, and you've already turned to the scriptures because you know them as well as I do. So if you haven't already gone there, you might turn to the book of Amos. In the book of Amos, we find something very interesting. And right off of the bat, we see this concept of roaring. In Amos 1 and in verse 2, here's what God says. It says, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. So right off of the book, we see, not like what we normally think of Satan being the lion, in this case, God is the lion. God is the one roaring. We also see that this is the first, in this book, this is the first example or the first mention of roaring. This is the first type of roaring. This is a warning roar. He's warning the people. And by context, we can easily see that. Throughout chapter 1, he goes to each of the surrounding nations around Israel, whether it be Damascus or Tyre or whoever, and he says, for three reasons and for four, this is why I will punish you. And he tells them what's wrong with them. So each one of them, he does that. Now, if we skip through the book just a bit, and we go to chapter 2 and verse 6, because what I want to focus on is the nation of Israel. And here's what he says in verse 6 of chapter 2. For three transgressions and for four, I will not turn away the punishment, because they sold righteousness for silver. And it goes on and on through that chapter to explain all the sins of Israel and what God's going to do. So here, what we want to know is that for every single person, every nation, whether it be Israel, Judah, or the Gentile nations around there, God gives a specific message. He says, this is exactly what's wrong with you. I'm warning you, if you don't change, here's the punishment. And it's individualized. It's the same for a nation. It's the same for a country. It's the same for a church. It's the same for an individual. We will all be judged according to our own fruit. And God, in a merciful God that He is, sends out a warning and says, watch it. This is what I have against you. You better take heed and you better change your ways. So everyone was warned. But you know what? God only tolerates sin for so long. And then He punishes. He says, for this reason will I do it, for this reason, and I will not spare. So God, the God of mercy and grace, He's very kind and patient, but eventually He executes justice. He exemplifies or sends out tough love. So, with this warning, what did ancient Israel do? When the Lion of Judah roared and gave a warning message through the prophet Amos, what did they do? Well, just skip down a little bit and go to verse 11 of chapter 2. Here we see what ancient Israel did. This was their response. And God says, and I raised up for you sons of the prophets and of your young men for Nazarites. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and you commanded the prophets to not speak. the Nazarites were given an example of pure living. They weren't supposed to drink. And so what did they do? They corrupted them. They gave them wine to drink. What did they do to the prophets who were the mouthpiece for God to give this warning message? They shut them up. They didn't want to hear what they had to say. So they didn't heed the warning. Instead, they shut that warning down. They didn't want to hear it. They said, tell us only good things. Don't tell us anything corrective. Don't tell us anything that might make us change our ways. So what was the result? How did God deal with this? So now we're going to go a little bit farther. If you go to chapter 3 and verse 4, we see exactly what happens here. Now we're going to see there's a different type of roar that comes into play. Now in Amos 3 and verse 4, God says, will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? And the answer, especially in context, is absolutely no. He will roar when he has the kill. God is saying, I've sent you a warning. You ignored it and you shut up the prophets. Now I'm going to roar again, but I'm going to roar the roar of the kill. I'm coming after you, O Israel, because you would not heed the first roar, the roar that was a warning. So let's skip down here a little bit. Look at what it says in verse 7. It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. But what good does it do anyone if you don't listen to the prophets, if you shut them up? How could that warning message have any benefit if you shut them up and don't listen? So then again, to make the point clear, in verse 8, God says this, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? And so Amos, even though he was told to be quiet, he was more afraid of God and he felt compelled to preach the warning message. He did this for 1 year and God waited to see what would man do? What would ancient Israel do? Would they change? Would they repent? And he waited and he waited and he waited. And then he went silent and he started to stalk ancient Israel. He waited about 40 years and he pounced like a lion and he roared the roar of a kill. And the next chapters, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, describe the pain, the suffering, the torment of going into captivity for ancient Israel. And it's not a pretty picture. It's not a pleasant message. It's not something that you go home and just say, wow, I can't wait to read about this. But it was true, and it came from the hands of God. He waits so long, and there comes a time where there is no more chance to heed the warning. It's too late, because the lion has roared the roar of a kill, and he pounced. So, this is pretty interesting. This is the pattern that we see. God sends out a warning roar. He does it through his prophets. Then he waits to see. He gives you time to repent, to change, to adjust your attitude, to adjust your way of life, to make adjustments. He waits only so long, and then he goes quiet and he starts to stalk. And he will pounce suddenly, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and people will be surprised. But it happens. And this is the pattern with ancient Israel. This is the pattern we see being played out with modern Israel, America. And this is the same pattern, because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's being played out in the church. But we have choices. We can choose to hear that message. It was God through the Apostle Paul who said, these things, the book of Amos, was not written for ancient Israel. It was written and preserved in the Bible for us, the church of God, that we might learn, that we might change, that we might be benefited, that we might look at this example and say, wow, do I really want that result? Or do I want something different? It's possible that the lion has already roared through the voice of Herbert W. Armstrong. It's very possible. He spoke, I heard him say, I know he probably said at least 100 times that he came to give a warning message. His voice was heard on all the TV programs. Over 11 million plain truths every month at one point were sent out. At one time we were the largest producers or buyers of TV time for religious and also on the radio. I don't know if that was the roar or not, but either way, we're faced with this question. Will we learn from ancient Israel's mistakes? Will we make a better choice, or will we just continue on? Will we hear the roar of warning? Have we heard the roar of warning in our own lives? Has God given us already that in an individual way that we knew He was getting our attention? Maybe we crashed our car and we knew He was trying to get our attention. Maybe we just missed death. Whatever it is, some of us have already had that experience where God shook us and said, pay attention. But if He has, what are we doing about that? Are we heeding it? You know, it's interesting if you'd ask the ancient Israelites, how many of you want to ignore the warning of the lion and be devoured later on by it? No one would have raised their hands. If you ask people in America, do you want to just ignore the warnings and get ripped to shreds? No one would raise their hands. In the church, no one's going to say, yeah, I want to ignore the roar of warning and let me just be killed. But nonetheless, that's what happens many, many times. So the question I wonder is, how can we proactively avoid that mistake? What can we actually do to make sure that we go a different course? Well, it kind of comes to me that some of the answer is right there in those scriptures. We see, first of all, what did ancient Israel do? They ignored and shut up the prophets. Amos 8 even says that there is coming a time where there's a famine of the hearing of the word, not a famine of the word. So when that famine comes, it dawns to me that we have a choice. We don't have to participate in a famine. We don't have to shut up the prophets. Instead, we can let them speak. We can seek them out. Well, how could we do that? Well, we have a Bible. A lot of that is written by prophets. We could read the prophets on our own proactively. We could seek out messages in the archives. And if we can't find them in Seattle's archives, we could go to other congregations. But there are ministers that will explain the prophets. There are also the Bible. We can read it for ourselves. That's a way that we can let the prophets speak to us. And if we do that, we can chart a new path. No one likes to read the prophets, but they carry warnings for us. The Word of God is there for us. There's a scripture says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How can we hear except one teach us? What I want us to know is that we don't have to have a famine of the hearing. We could have a feast because it's in our power, our control, to feed ourselves. We can seek out the pastors. We can seek out the ministers. We can read the Bible so that when the lion roars, we can hear him. When the lion roars, we can heed him. When the lion roars, we can be found listening to the prophets.